The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he spoke to them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you is willing to construct a tower, but does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding yourself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? And if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. If we're going to follow literally the teaching of this gospel, you're all destined for full and consummate poverty. Thought I'd tell you that just to begin. So let's look at this gospel and wonder what this really means to us. We need to consult scholars when we look at God's word. And here's what the exegesis from scholars will tell us. Jesus was an itinerant preacher. The messianic Jesus was nomadic. And all his followers wandered and wandered. He wandered from the north up in Galilee. That's where Nazareth is, and Cana, Sea of Galilee, Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, Bethsaida. All those places familiar to us by name are all up north in Galilee. 65 miles south, Nazareth, or Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Bethany, the Negev Desert, the place where John the Baptist baptized. And in between you have Jericho and Samaria. That well at Samaria, remember Jesus met the Samaritan woman. That's halfway in the journey. Jesus would have walked this with his disciples many times. And therefore, the first followers of Jesus and Jesus himself, they were nomadic. They had no parish. They had no church. When they were down south in Jerusalem, they went to the temple because they were devout Jews. Other places in Nazareth and in Capernaum, it's recorded that Jesus went to the synagogue. And therefore, in the time of Jesus, this had a meaning, even with Semitic hyperbole. It still had a meaning then, which it would not have today. In the culture and the time of Jesus, they were wandering. Jesus was preaching here, preaching there, walking up and down from Jerusalem, north to Galilee, and back again. John's gospel would have him coming back and forth many times. They were great walkers. That's a 65-mile walk. In 5 or 6 weeks, we'll have a pilgrimage from here, and we'll go to Galilee, and we'll go to Jerusalem, and go to all these places. In chapter 8 in the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter 9 in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says this. He says, foxes have dens, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And therefore, in the time of Jesus, this gospel text had a meaning which it would not have today. So let me speak a little bit about discipleship for us in the context of our lives. It's important not to read something out of context. If you read something out of context, you probably will misunderstand it. So I want to bring this word of God into the context of the present age. And Jesus is speaking about discipleship. Now, scholars, looking at the paradigm of Jesus, the manner in which he called disciples, are very specific. Julianne Stans, in her recent book, Start with Jesus, frames what scholars say in this way. There are three B's: belonging, believing, and behavior. So let me look at these. For instance, in chapter 1, I'll give you the scripture reference because I know many of you at home are making notes and you follow your Bible. Look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And John the Baptist points out Jesus. He says, there is the Lamb of God. And two disciples of John the Baptist follow Jesus. They're not named yet. They follow Jesus. And he turns around and he says, what are you looking for? And they say, where do you live? And he says, come and see. They went and spent a day with Jesus. And when they finished encountering Jesus, Andrew, one of them named, finds his brother Peter, and he says, we have found the Messiah. First you had belonging, then you had believing. Look at the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. And there we have a very interesting encounter between a woman, a Samaritan, an outsider, at the well at Shechem. We'll be at that well in 4 or 5 weeks. She's married 5 times. She's now living with a man who is not her husband. And Jesus meets her at the well, and he is gracious, and he's welcoming, and he's kind, he's open. And he calls her into a gracious conversation. Doesn't make any judgment about her. He sees the goodness in her. He sees her search. He sees the sincerity in her, what others do not see. And in this gracious conversation, when he finishes, she goes back to her village and says, I found the Messiah. You had the welcoming, you had the belonging, and then you had the believing. One more, look at chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke, and you'll find this fellow named Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, reviled by the people, a crook, a thief, a mean and selfish person. And Jesus meets him in Jericho. Remember the story, he climbs a sycamore tree because he's short. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. I mean to eat at your house tonight. Zacchaeus hurries down. He welcomes Jesus into his home. And once he encounters Jesus, that's the belonging. He believes. He says, I have found faith. Me and my whole family, we have found faith. And now he changes his life. So watch the dynamic. The dynamic is welcoming, believing, and then behavior. Now, this may well be true in our sacred and precious relationships we have in life. Whatever your core relationship is, there's a welcoming. Somebody showed you hospitality, showed an interest in you. And then you began to believe that maybe this is a very special relationship, and then your behavior changed. That's the paradigm that Jesus uses in the Gospels when calling people to discipleship. Now, the temptation in the church is not to go for belonging and believing, but begin to make judgments about behavior before the people are welcomed, before the people begin to believe. The temptation says, you're not worthy, you don't fit, you're an outsider, you don't qualify. They're not following the paradigm of Jesus. That's judgment. That's separation. That's division in a community. Look at Jesus. All are welcome. All are welcome. Those who doubt, those who don't believe, those who challenge, those we regard as irregular, all are welcome. Belonging is the beginning of discipleship. So in a church, we have to open our hearts in a manner of Jesus and say, all are welcome. Come, sinners, you who are odd. Oh God, you know, our own churches, sometimes you meet very peculiar people. You know, why? Because we have hospitality. Because we welcome people who are peculiar, different, outsiders. That's an authentic call to discipleship. And it's only after you have the welcoming, the blessing, the openness, the gracious spirit, the gift of belonging, only then can you begin to move toward believing that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, infinite love for all people. And when that happens, then behavior begins to change. Then people say, I have found Jesus Christ in my life. It's not the church you find. It's Jesus Christ you find. And following Jesus Christ is lived out in a community we call church. And by the way, discipleship in Jesus Christ is lived out in many other churches, not just ours. We have the uniqueness of having Eucharist, the person of Jesus Christ, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Well, now, how do we begin to engage this gospel of discipleship in the present age? We begin to look at the uniqueness and the sincerity and the searching and the dreams and the hopes of all people, especially those who are struggling to belong. In our families, how do we create a discipleship experience in our families? In young people who are rebellious, young people who are crazy liberal, and we're crazy conservative, or whatever it is, how do we find elderly people who are lonely and say, there's a place for you, come forward. We want to give you an experience of Jesus Christ so that you will experience discipleship. That's what it means today. It doesn't mean I have to give up everything. I mean, do I have to give up my golf clubs? You know, what do I have to give up here? It's not what you give up. It's what you take on, the power of Jesus Christ in your life. And when you take on the power of Jesus Christ in your life, you will begin to believe something you did not believe before. And when you begin to believe, then you begin to change your life. Marvelous. It's so simple. All you have to do is read the life of Jesus Christ. Read the manner in which he treated people. He respected people. He welcomed people. Wow. How do we make this come alive in our families, in our communities, and in our church? That's the challenge. We don't begin with behavior. We begin with belonging and welcoming. From there, in the power of Jesus Christ, people will begin to believe. And when people begin to believe, then they begin to change their lives. Amen. I hope that's not too long. I see many of you using your fans. I have to tell Father Albert, for God's sake, will you turn up the air conditioning a little bit here? Well, might be saving money, whatever it is. Or maybe we need a new system, okay? In any case, I hope I didn't keep all the people with the fans too long, okay? Please stand and we'll now pray.